in GU.
GU, K4, BWA.
Hello, Steve.
Bill Wade, Steven.
You faded out on me. I'm just running some errands.
Oh, the day never ends, does it?
It sure don't.
Well, I did it. I got the yellow Mustang up in the air. I got the lift situated where I want it. I got the boat down the right-hand side. And I got the blue Mustang up underneath. And I'm going to start doing the final clean tomorrow where I can start pulling that white one apart.
With a car on top of the lift already.
Yeah, but I had moved the lift over too close to the wall. I needed to turn it so that I could, or I'd move it over so I could get the boat along that far right side. So I had to take it off, lift the lift up, move it over, and then put the boat back in there and put it all back together.
But since the lift is only 2,500 pounds, that was no problem.
I ate my Wheaties this morning.
No, but Mr. John Deere did.
You forget, when I put the lift down without a car on it, I've got a caster system to where I can just roll it around by hand.
Yeah, I forgot about the casters. That's right. Nice.
Move it all about anywhere I want to. So, I'm all set, though. Now I can continue cleaning down that one side, and I can get in there and start in on that white car. Are you still interested in doing that with me?
Yeah, man, that'd be cool. That'd be cool. I know you didn't have a chance to look. Do you think there's a possibility you've got a bit the size I need?
Oh, I forgot to look this evening, Phil. Let me tell you what I'll do. I'll get in there in the morning, and you're talking about a wood bit, right?
Yeah, I need to go through 2x4 thickness.
Oh, that ain't no problem. That ain't no problem. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I may have a regular bit, 5/8. That would work. Now, you got a half-inch chuck drill, don't you?
Oh, I got a Milwaukee hole hog.
Okay. I'm not sure what that is, but sounds like it ought to do it.
A drill that I ever needed. I've had it about 30 years, and I often joke that if my truck stops, I can just stick that thing down through the floorboard into the transmission, and it'll run me home.
Well, keep it in the truck, bud. You may need it one day at the Ford.
Well, of course, it's not battery run. It's much too strong for that. But they told me when I bought it, they said, now, if you're going to drill and stuff, you better be sure you don't hit nails and stuff, because if you hit something that stops this bit, it will break your arm, and we have many of our customers to prove it.
Battery-powered 20-volt DeWalt will do you the same way. It'll snap your wrist back and hurt you.
Way too powerful to run by battery. And it's heavy, too. But anyway, it'd be appreciated if you have one of those, Steve. I'm trying to get my OCF up, my Wyndham.
If I don't have one, I'll go out and buy one to get that OCF up.
I got another cable onto her TV back in the dressing room, so she is all happy. So I spent the day messing with that. I came up with a solution that I didn't have to get a splitter. And, you know, we talked about dividing the power with a splitter, and I didn't want to do that. So that antenna has two gamma matches. So it's fed twice with two different cables, and I don't have any degradation that I know of.
Good. Well, good. I can tell you down on Wade Hampton Boulevard because your signal gets scratchy.
I'm right in front of a Honda place on Wade Hampton in Greer.
Yeah, I know where you're talking about. The Honda car dealership, not the motorcycle place.
Yeah, now I'm in front of Bradshaw.
for you, bud. In about an hour, you're going to need to get on the net.
It'll be good. And I know you saw the text where I locked in on the 14th, and he's going to go over and case the place and make sure that we don't run into any surprises, and I thought that was very wise. And so we ought to be ready just to get her done when we go. Gary, oh, he will go.
Okay, good. All right. Well, I have just finished about 5 minutes ago with all of my activities for the day, all day long. And I'm going to go over here and sit down and enjoy a nice, quiet conversation with my little sweetie. So you come kind of behind all that, bud. So I'll talk to you later. 73's K and 4VWA. I'll be clear after your final.
See you, Steve. Hello, Sue. W4, never give up.
VWA. N4MMW.
4MMW. KN4VWA. What's up, Jimmy? What are you doing out and about?
I got your radio set up here on the table and the antenna stuck on the washing machine. It's what I was using today to scan around, listen to what I could all around the world before I hit the street.
I hear you. Well, listen, if you're still listening, I'm fixing to get off here, but when both of you get a chance, I want you to go look at the new Yaesu FTM 400DR. Phil, go look at that radio. I'm lusting after it. It's on the front page of the new HRO catalog.
Woo-hoo! Talking about the 400, but they never... I didn't never know what company made it, but, yeah, they were saying it was pretty good.
All right. It's digital, and you can transmit video with sound between two radios that are similarly equipped, and it'll download it to a SD card.
And or just VHF, UHF?
40. But I won't be getting one anytime soon. That 400DR is, I believe it's 549.
X-ray repairs, all you need to do.
Yeah, I wish that was about the way it was. All right, well, listen, I really am off of here now. Hey, Jimmy, what else do you want me for, boy?
Just to, next time you're at the shop, let's see if my harmonic balancer is on the front of the motor.
And I forgot to look this evening, and I was down there. You wouldn't believe what I've done down in that building. Are you going to be at home in the morning?
I was going to be over at my sister's house at 9:30. I got a project to do over there.
I tell you what, Jimmy, take your HT along with you, if you can, and I'll go down there and I'll get you an answer by 10 o'clock. How's that?
Just send me a little text. That'll let me know if it's on there or not, because I can't find it around the house here in the cup.
Now, the harmonic balancer, that goes on the back of the crankshaft where it hooks to the transmission, right?
The clutch plate. This is that pulley that's on the front. It's got the weight on it.
Teasing with you, bud. I'm just kidding. As a matter of fact, yours is probably a 3-bolt. And if it's not there, I'll check and make sure it's a 3-bolt. Because, it's either a 3-bolt or a 4-bolt, and I can't remember which one is which. But I'll check and make sure. If it's not there, I'll see if I've got one, okay?
The whole harmonic balancer would be the weight. I think I have the pulley that attaches to it. I believe that is right there in the box, but it's mainly the harmonic balancer itself.
Yeah, the pulley attaches to the harmonic balancer, and the pulleys are generally either 4 volt or 3 volt.
The harmonic balancer is held on there by one big bolt.
Sit in the center with a key.
Right. Yeah, Phil, all he's got to do is one x-ray call, and he could get that radio with a piece of cake.
Sure he can. Who's he trying to fool?
That was the same thing I told him this afternoon when he called me on the phone. I told him, I said, one call will do it.
Radio's he letting you borrow. You better watch it. He'll get the best of you if you're swapping.
Swap me on that. We did some swapping and trading. And this is that little dual band Kenwood TMV71.
71, bud, and it's a crossbander at that. You love those Kenwoods. And by the way, now, if I remember right, you're the one that set the price.
Fault if it ever happened.
All right, well, listen, I'm jumping off here, you guys. I got to give Mama some time. I'll talk to y'all later. Phil, don't get caught. Jimmy, you just sweet and innocent, bud. I'll talk to you later, too. K4 VWA, clear.
See you, Steve. Jimmy, have you ever heard of a Kenwood?
Doesn't ring a bell right at the moment.
Cool Kenwood, and it's a great big thing. It's a boat anchor kind of thing. A couple of weeks ago, one of them inadvertently, it was not intentional interference, keyed up on the Mount Mitchell machine on 145.19. And stayed keyed for 7 hours. It was either Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon. And they tracked him down, and that wasn't any problem. But everybody was joking. They said, we won't know what kind of transmitter didn't burn up in 7 hours, and it was a TS-700.
Oh, boy. That's a heck of a transmitter, and got a good heat sink and a fan if it had one.
10-watt rig, and I remember back in the 70s, I had a standard was the manufacturer. It was a good radio, and it was a 10-watt rig, and I kind of thought that was adequate. I'm glad it went on up, but a 10-watt Kenwood, and they said it was cool as a cucumber. 7 hours.
Problem with a radio in my truck. I changed the microphone and put like a push button microphone, and it had little memory in it, so I could do the phone patch by just pushing, you know, one button. And I got in the truck, cranked it up, coming down the road by the Kmart on 29 there, and I said, man, everything sure is quiet. And I looked up, and the transmitter was on. I said, oh, why? And I could get this sucker to go off until I unplugged it. And then it shut out. And then I had to go back and apologize on the air. I got rid of that microphone. It's in a box somewhere down here in the man cave.
These new rigs with these micro switches on the mic, you can hardly move them without it keying up, so you got to be real careful. It's easier than ever for a book or something to slide against it in the front seat, and you're in transmit.
One year I got to go to Indianapolis Fire School, and we left Indianapolis to come back home. I sit in the back seat, and I noticed that everybody that passed us, we were in one of the fire cars. And I noticed all everybody kept looking at us. And I said, boy, that's weird. But I said, oh, it's just a fire car. We're from out of state, and it looks real good. Then I kind of sensed that something was blinking. Come find out, one of the guys sitting in the front seat said his computer on the console turned the rear section of red lights on. And we were clearing traffic.
Well, that's what they're for.
Ha Oh, yeah. It cleared them out there for a while, but it was only in the rear. It wasn't in the front.
But, kind of on the same subject, you know, I live on the highway there, on Highway 9, and the police cars come by there pretty fast during the day. But past about midnight, they must be doing 150. I mean, way back from the highway, it is a scary thing. And somebody was killed a few years ago. I mean, you pull out, you don't have any reaction time. And those things are just barely touching the pavement. I don't understand why, you know, you can't outrun the two-way. But it's just flat dangerous.
You live that far out?
In Boiling Springs, it's just a little bit north of Spartanburg, maybe 3 miles, maybe four. But I mean, they zip up that road at night. It is scary.
You're saying 94, not Highway 9.
No, I'm saying Highway 9 in Boiling Springs, South Carolina, not North Carolina.
I got you, yeah. Yeah, I know where it's at. Yeah, that's a real slow speed road when you first get on it, and then it opens up a little bit because I got one service call that I do up that way.
Not down on the police at all, but it just seems like, and maybe they're going to a wreck or something and they need to block traffic as quick as they can. I understand all that, but there's just no reaction time. If you pulled out, you'd be dead.
Want to come in here?
Yes. Yes, N0TR. Bernice says I'm nuts.
Park.
What? Has got a 2-meter radio in every corner of a house.
Do that, because every time I hear him on the radio, he's leaving Greer headed to Aldi's or Walmart or somewhere every day, or a doctor.
Yeah, the doctors. When you get our age, it's pills and bills, guys. Well, I used to keep a handy talkie alongside the bed, didn't I, Bernice?
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, an achievement I did today, I had a friend many years ago. And for no reason, out of the blue, if you can believe I had a friend, Gary Jones was his name, very big, tall, easygoing, lanky guy. And we hunted and fished together, and I just thought the world of him. And one day, he walked out in my garage, and I was out there on the radio, and he handed me this little bitty box, and it was a Radio Shack HTX 200. And I hadn't used that thing since we moved down here, so I ordered a couple of Baofeng, well, they're China products, they're Chinese, antennas for SMA, and I put on that little thing, and I talked to John, RJN, today on 0.2 watts, all it puts out, and I was out by my weather station checking it out after this big blow. I was able to talk to him on 0.2 watt. That says a lot for this repeater, you know it. This is N0TR.
This is a very sensitive repeater. And Tom, I got to tell you, it's very good natured. It's not derogatory in any way, but there are those that in person like to kid about, if you hear Tom, he's on the way to Aldi. That's no joke.
That, Jimmy's right, but it's Bernice's fault.
You cook, you just keep going to Aldi.
You mean, she made a hummingbird cake today, and I had a piece of it tonight, and I even risked a little coffee this evening. Oh, I'm telling you, that's as far uptown as you can get.
Man, we got to get back to having a ham club meeting so she can test out all our mouths to make them water like she always does.
Well, both of you guys need to get on the Zoom meetings. The one we had last month, was the best one we've ever had. It went an hour and a half, and it was just lots of fun. We went around and everybody told what they were doing in ham radio right now. Let's see, there were, wasn't a big group. They were about 18 to 20, something like that. And we just had a great time. I love Zoom personally.
I'm a person that like Facebook and that, they have security issues, and I had heard that Zoom fell right into line with that, and I'm old-fashioned, redneck, and narrow-minded, I guess, when it comes to this FTA and Zoom and all of that stuff, so I just kind of steer clear of it, Phil, but it sounds like it was a lot of fun.
Not 128-bit encryption, I'm sure. But the worst is going to happen is somebody jumps in there that shouldn't have been in there. But I have never had that happen. I think that's pretty rare. So and if somebody, you know, were to be able to crack in and you weren't, didn't know they were there, what are we saying that we care about anybody hearing? But it was just a lot of fun. Y'all ought to consider jumping in.
Jimmy?
Let the little dog out.
Well, I had something really nice happen today, Phil. Two things, and one you know of, and the other, I got an email earlier, luckily. I think my modem's screwing up, and it's got a lot of intermittent connections on the Wi-Fi, so I think I have to go buy me another modem tomorrow. But a friend from Tulsa, who was one of the most influential and smartest technicians I ever worked with in a machine shop in my life. I had to call him, I think, about four or five times in 32 years. And he'd come up from Tulsa if I'd get stuck on something. And, oh, man, that guy was smart. He even asked me to go out with him on a call one time. But he did things that were, like he married a PLC to a 32 spindle machine over at the railroad shops where they were drilling these big intercoolers and stainless and that, and just a brilliant man. And he contacted me through the ARRL and said he wanted to talk to me on the phone and that he'd call me, and I hadn't heard from him in 10 years. Really made me feel good, Phil.
Find a microphone here in the dark driving. Yeah, that makes you feel good, Tom.
More brilliant than I am at it'd be like comparing me to N4IQ or K4SV or somebody like that. It just, those guys are smart. And I'll tell you for sure, it was an honor. And I never thought of him going through QRZ or something and picking up that ARRL.net thing. I get very few things through that. And so that was a high-tech thing that I do agree with. Go ahead, Jim.
Is that he's still looking at the daisies and not looking at them from underneath. that was great. When you get on up in our age, you know, that's one of the things you have to look for. Every morning is a new day, and you better take notice of it.
Right. Jimmy, you putting in much heat in the air these days?
And right now, it's pretty quiet. I ain't done anything in about two or three weeks.
Situation, but I'm going to play it out as long as I can. I got oil heat, and it'll put 120 degree heat out at the vent. It is blazing hot. It's wonderful. But in this old house that was my grandparents, there is no insulation. So when the oil heat goes and we can't find parts for it, I don't know what to replace it with. I'm not going to rip the walls apart to put in insulation. Now, I could put it under the floor. But I'm going to have a mess when it goes out.
you need to put insulation underneath the floor. Make sure you got about, 18 inches or whatever the required amount is up in the attic. Get that, those two things done. Maybe put siding on the side of the house with styrofoam behind it. That'll take care of that wall thing. That's a pretty good chunk of money to be doing that. But your next furnace would be, I hope, gas if you've got it in the area.
I'm sure it's in Highway 9, but probably not going to do any of that, Jimmy. I've tried to keep my expenditures down because this is clearly, I know you've never been over here to see it, but it's commercial property. I've had all kind of businesses try to buy it. And first thing that's going to happen is they're going to bulldoze the house. So it just doesn't pay for me to put a lot of money in the house right now.
See, yep, you're right. Try to survive as long as you can without it running you out, you know, money crazy. Is this the house where the tower is?
I'm not up right now, but Starbucks is trying to get it. Popeye's Chicken tried to get it. Dollar General tried their best, wrote me contracts and contracts, and I turned them down. And they finally built down the street here, a nice place. But, like I say, first thing they're going to do is bulldoze the house.
Well, Phil, is this your home or your parents' home?
Well, Mother actually owns it, but, I mean, it'll come to me someday, but, so we're just kind of hanging on right now. It's just kind of nice not to have any house payment. Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense not to invest a lot in it there. Well, Jimmy and Mike, this is in 0TR, by the way, with the man on the mountains. My heat pump here, our heat pump is a train, and it's 013, and it's going on 11 or 12 years old, so it's off warranty now. But do you think it'd be worthwhile to go with an 18 whenever I replace that, or is that not cost efficient?
Fellas, let me sign. My mama's just called me. Their power has come on, and we got a couple of minor issues to look at. Y'all have a good evening, and we'll see you later. W4, never give up.
73'sville.
Sounds good. You take care, and talk to you later. N4MFW, portable.
You know, I had talked to a real smart HVAC tech one time, and he had put a SEER 18 in his home. But, of course, when you're doing it yourself, it's a little easier done that way.
Oh, what needs to go where? Yeah, that works good. But for somebody like you, you could, if that's how much money you want to spend, yeah, they're nice units and they're highly efficient. But you can still back up just a little bit and still be doing good.
I've been told that, and Jimmy and I once took a year of HVAC, and I have a HVAC license, but I can't lift over about 10 pounds, so that does me a lot of good, you know, and it's just impossible for me to do anything like that, and I was more on the controls side. I worked on them at a printing factory on the roofs, you know, on the big semi-hermetics, but for the most part, the other guys took care of the gases and that, and I took care of the controls. And then I took care of them on a hospital for a while. But I'm dumber than a sack full of rocks when it comes to that now. I just haven't practiced it for over 10 years, and times they do change. You got to kind of stay up on that stuff. But, yeah, I'd have to have it installed. Now, I don't know if you go to SEER 18, if you got to have anything done inside or not. My ducts are all insulated and everything in good shape.
It's probably the, if they're putting out the correct amount of air, good air flow evenly throughout all the whole house that's heated and cooled, the worst thing could happen, might have to enlarge the intake because these new ones use more air to make things higher efficient too. So that's one of the things is they push more air. So that's probably about the only thing I would see them. And that's no big deal because the return is right there close by, usually. And that was the thing about over there at, where I came from. Those things, you open the door to walk in. And there were some of those new ones that you could operate them and look at them from your, you know, telephone.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, the ones on that printing plant up there in Joplin, Missouri, you'd walk into and there were six condenser fans over your head. And you knew it was terrible hot in that thing. And you knew you were sweating, but it never showed because it was evaporating so quick. There, you know, those things held, I don't know, 200 and some pounds of R-22. It was amazing. But I've seen those guys do things with R-22 that they throw you in the jail and throw away the key nowadays.
That's all kind of, and they got all kind of new refrigerants coming out even just recently to replace some of the replacements.
These blends are incredible. I remember that was probably a lot of the hardest part of the test. I had to go to Kansas City and take, as I remember, it was three different tests, and it was at a place that Johnson Controls, I think. And if that's correct, and they were real stringent about it. This one I got used is what, R401 or something like that?
That or 404.
I'm not positive, but another cool air return. You know, these houses, this was built in 89, and these houses have only one cool air return. So I had another big duct ran into the living room for an extra cool air return. But then they told me that I'd have to add two of those add-on units. I forget what you call those things where you hang them on the wall, you know, if I wanted to cool the basement. No, that ain't going to happen. And so I ran two ducts down there, and they check twice a year. They check the airflow on those for the CFM and everything, and it's right up to par. And I never did tell them I'd done that, but the basement, I think the warmest it's ever got is 78, and that don't bother us any. We're old.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, mine unit here, I have a gas furnace with air. It's right at 30 years old, and I haven't ever touched it.
I had a good friend up in Arma, Kansas, just north of where I lived in Pittsburgh, and he had a nice unit with an add-on gas with it, and if it got to where the heat pump was inefficient, well, then the gas would kick in. And that guy was so cheap, he could pull his wallet out and tell you where he bought a tank of gas at a year before and how much he'd get for it. So I know it was real efficient.
Most did that with the one I had here, but it was just beginning to hit the market at that time. But I believe I might go that route. And when I do replace this whole thing, is put a heat pump in front of my gas furnace.
Well, I think in a temperate climate, they're great down here. Our house is total electric, and our electric and gas both up in Kansas at the time, it'd just triple us. It'd be in the gas in the wintertime, it'd be like $300, and then it'd be another $100 for the electric. And I didn't make that much money, and it just was really trying. And, of course, it's colder climate. But I was taught that the heat pumps were efficient down to, what was it? Well, they started going nonlinear about 47 degrees, but then they, when they got down around 37, well, they switched over. You know, there just wasn't any more warm air in the cold air to be absorbed.
Right at those temperatures where the heat pump falls off and electric heat cuts in, or you have a temperature control out there that would turn your other furnace on, or you can manually turn it on at the thermostat, just, you know, one of those things, but it's strictly good for the mild weather stuff. This is N4MFW.
We pay a level payment plan down here, and we're just tickled to death with it. Of course, Duke Energy raises the price about every year or two, but, you know, they got their infrastructure, Jimmy, they have to think in advance. And so if they're going to, well, like, for example, they're talking about building 85,000 homes down here in the future. And they have to estimate how many megawatts they're going to need ahead of time and be billing for that before they can have the money to build this infrastructure in order to supply the peak demands. And they have to have, I'm going to estimate, 150% for your surges, you know.
Did 4 years ago was put company came by and they put solar panels on my roof, and they cut my power bill just about in half, and then every year it only goes up 1.5% so for the next 20 years.
Sounds really good. I know the laws have changed recently, and I'm certain that these utility people are not crazy about people doing that, so they've made it more difficult for the citizens to implement this. And, like, I think my neighbor here gets 1 kilowatt. If they put one back in, they get paid for a kilowatt off of their bill. But now I think that dropped to like 50%. But she told me that was like kind of like a loan, and it was like $40,000. And so I don't know how that works, how you pay it back or anything about it. I considered it, but it would have had to have been done before the first of the year. What I worry about down here is hail. And they say they're tough, but boy, we had a lot of damage 2 years after we moved down here from hail, and it's not real uncommon.
The panels that I have, everything was put in for free. They didn't charge me anything. Of course, I make that payment for the next 20 years, so I'm going to be real old and gray for sure. But when that hailstorm came through right at 4 years ago, I think it was. You know, it was a lot bigger than a golf ball down here in the Taylor's area. It did not hurt those solar panels whatsoever, because I had them come out. It damaged the roof and it damaged everything else around my house. But the solar panels withstood it, the whole thing.
N0TR. Okay, so when that happens, and you have to have a new roof, do they have to take the solar panels off in order to install your new roof?
They take it all off and put it here in the backyard and all the frames and part of the wiring. It got everything out of the way of that roof. Then they replaced it and they came back and put them back on. Now, it did cost me a whole lot of money, but insurance paid for all that.
Ben, are those photovoltaic or is that solar water and that going through them? I assume it's photovoltaic.
No, it's not the water version. It's the electro, you know, solar cells. And there's right at 40 of them up there on the roof.
Neighbor got here, and man, those things are built nice. They really, well, the efficiency is a lot better nowadays. They've got thin film methods of doing them, and I think they're using better things than even silicon like gallium arsenide, selenide, and yada, yada, yada. But they do a better job. I don't know how many kilowatts they got over here. I know K4SV put in 20 kilowatts worth, if I'm not mistaken, but his place up there. Of course, he's out in the middle of nowhere, and then he's having the, you know, those battery things back up you see advertised on TV now for Tesla does it, and I think Generac does it. And they put in a system of batteries, and the cells charge those, and then during power failure and that, those come online, or they come online at night and keep you from using energy at night. I bet that cost a pretty penny.
I had the batteries ready when I got mine put on, but I talked to them about that. And the thing is, the batteries would be at my expense, and those Tesla batteries, they're pretty expensive, but they're good.
No question about that. And Tesla's doing that, too. They're going out and putting solar systems on houses now. So, well, I think you're very blessed to have that. I'm glad to get caught up on that. I didn't know if they would take our weather down here or not, because if you got broke, that'd be a bad thing. Jimmy, we tied up the repeater far too long, but boy, I enjoyed it. Thanks for staying with me, and I'll catch you down the line, 73s. This is the 0TR. I'll be clear on your final, Jimmy.
Yes, you were thinking about panels. Now be time to do it if they're doing it in your area. All the conditions are good. You would really like it. You take care, and maybe we'll see you tomorrow. This is N4MMW. Be clear.
Time for the net, I'm not sure.
4MMW. The net will start at 9 o'clock.
Is that though?
52 right at the moment.
Keep the repeater. Yeah, boy, this is out. I'll have someone check me in. But I'm not sure if I'm going to make it in or not. But it's handy talking.
Great job. No problem. So if you don't run out of battery, you'll be good to go.
In a minute, I'll wait and hang out. Okay, I'll check back in if it makes it in.
We'll see you after a while. This is N4MMW.
WG4MC, W4DJW. Okay, Matt was having some power problems earlier today, so I'm going to call the net in his place. CQ, 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 the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Your net control tonight is W4DJW. My name is Dave, and my location is Greer. In the interest and promotion of amateur radio, this net is called nightly at 9 p.m. In the event of an emergency, this net will be activated. This repeater is located atop Caesars Head Mountain, about 2 miles south of the North Carolina-South Carolina border near Highway 276. The repeater is at an elevation of 3,500 feet and is owned and operated by the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society. All amateurs licensed to operate on the frequency are invited to check in. Is there any form of traffic bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call W4DJW. Okay, nothing heard. We'll now begin the roll call. This is a directed net. All stations wishing to check in are invited to check in. As you check in, give your call, name, location, and signal your intent to remain on the net for the RagChew portion. And we do have quite a few pre-check-ins. We'll go ahead and go through that list, then we'll check for new hams, and then we'll get to EchoLink. So, Net Control, I'd like to recognize W4FCM. That's Fred over in Travis Rest. Bring with him in for IEI. That's Miss Isla. Good to have you with us tonight, Fred. Till Miss Isla, we said hello. And W4DF, that is Don over in Edmond. Good to have you with us tonight, Don. Hope you're doing well. KN4RJN, that's John over in Edmond. Good to have you with us tonight, John. Hope you're doing well. KC4W, that's Bill and Anderson. KW4TS, that's Jim over in Pelzer. And N4DJC, that's Jerry over in Anderson. Good to have you guys with us tonight. Appreciate you using the pre-check-in capability this evening. Are there any brand-new amateur radio operators that have never checked into a net before that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net this evening? Call W4DJW. Okay, moving right along to EchoLink stations. We've got a couple of EchoLink stations up. EchoLink stations only for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW.
W4DJW. Dave, please check in. KJ4HKC. That's Kilo. Juliet 4. Hotel Kilo Charlie. John in Belton. I'll be negative and negative.
W4DJW. Good evening, Dave. Please check in and out. Kilo 4 Zulu Zulu X-ray. K4ZZX. We're over here at the Parish Mountain in beautiful Bill County. Right. Good evening to you and all on the net. And I'm in the lead people that don't have power, so we're on emergency standby now. So if it don't have power, I hope you get it.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize KJ4HKC. That's John over in Belton. Good to have you with us tonight, John. Hope you're doing well. And K4ZZX, that's Steve over in Greenville, base of Parish Mountain. Good to have you with us tonight, Steve. We were on generator power all day today. About 6 or 7 o'clock, the lights came on, and I had to go undo all the generator stuff. But glad of that, because it was starting to get warm up here. The AC is back on, and it cooled it back down from being very hot in here to being comfortable. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Steve. Take care. Stay safe. And tonight being Thursday night, we're going to begin the RF section of the net with Quebec through Tango, stationed with the first letter of the suffix they're called that begins with letters Q through T. When I check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
Please check in. N0TR, this is Tom. I'm located in Greer. Good evening to you and all on the net. I'll be negative and negative.
KW. If you would, sir, please check in and out. Kilo November 4, Tango Zulu Whiskey. It's Gabriel in Hendersonville. I'll just be short time. Appreciate you calling the net.
KC4SKB, Larry, and also KG4AHS, Rhonda. Learn easily. Check us in and out tonight. Good evening, everybody.
RKN, Kilo Delta 2, Romeo Kilo November, Jason in Williamston, no traffic, no comments. Thanks for calling the net, and good evening, everybody.
Kilo Oscar 4, Alpha Charlie Alpha, Bill in Greenville.
Okay, that's a really good start to the net this evening. Net Control, I'd like to recognize in 0TR, that's Tom over in Greer. Just a hop, skip, and a jump away from me. Appreciate you being with us, Tom. Till Bernice, we said hello. Hope you guys have power, too. Ours came on late this afternoon. Glad it came back on. It's tough doing without it. Good to have you with us tonight. And KN4TZW, that's Gabriel, over in Hendersonville. Good to have you with us tonight, Gabriel. Hope you're doing well. And KC4SKD, that's Larry. Bring with him KG4AHS, that's Miss Rhonda. They're over in Easley. Good to have you with us tonight, Larry. Tell Miss Rhonda we said hello. KD2RKM, that's Jason and Williamson. Sound good tonight, Jason. Appreciate you being there. And KO4ACA, that's Bill over in Greenville. Good to have you tonight, Bill. Hope you're doing well. Appreciate you taking the time to check in this evening. Any other stations, Quebec through Tango, that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
Evening, Dave. K4ROW, Richard and Greenville. Negative and negative.
Okay, next I'd like to recognize K4ROW. That's Richard sounding good from Greenville this evening. Good to have you with us tonight, Richard. Stay safe. We're going to go ahead now and bump into the uniform through Zulu group. Stations with the first letter of the suffix of call that begins with letters U through Z. We'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW. Okay, I guess we'll hang on for Tommy for the second shift. See if he arrives in. We'll go ahead now and bump into the Alpha through Delta group. Stations with the first letter suffix of call begins with letters A through D. When I check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
W4DJW. Good evening, Dave. Please check in. Kilo 4, Delta Mike Whiskey, Rick, and my wife, Kilo 4, Oscar November Oscar, Lorena, and my daughter, Kilo Mike 4, Mike Oscar Quebec, Michelle. We're all in Piedmont, and we'll all be negative and negative.
DJW. Good evening, Dave. Please check in Kilo Oscar 4, Alpha Oscar Whiskey. This is David over in Inman, where the power just came back on. Be negative and negative tonight. 73s.
DJW. November 4, Delta India Zulu. Joel and Traveler's Rest. Good evening, Dave and Annette. I will be negative and negative. Good evening.
Okay, there's another good group this evening. Net Control would like to recognize KK4DMW, that's Rick. Bring with him KK4ONO, that's Miss Lorena, and KM4MOQ, that's Miss Michelle. All over in Piedmont. Sounding good tonight, Rick. Tell Michelle and Lorena we said hello. You're hoping you guys are staying safe. Take care. KO4AOW, that's David sounding good from Inman, where the lights just came back on. I know you appreciate that, David. We appreciate it when ours came back on a little while ago as well. And N4DIZ, that's Joel over in Greenville. You sounded good tonight, Joel. Appreciate you taking time to be here this evening. Any other stations, Alpha through Delta, that'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. Okay, we do have an Echolink station. Echolink station's only for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
4JW, good evening to you and all my friends on the net. This is K4 Yankee November Golf, K4 YNG Fletch and Easley. We lost power at 6:30 this morning, and we've been running on the emergency generator ever since. There have been about 20,000 people in the Easley area without power, and some of them, the lights on our street are coming on now, so we'll be all right. Thanks for letting me join in. We're negative and negative.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize K4YNG. That is Fletch over in Easley, where the power is just now coming back on. I'm glad to know that, Fletch. That's a good feeling when the lights come back on. Appreciate you being with us tonight. Stay safe. Any other stations, Alpha through Delta, that'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
Kilo Foxtrot 4, Delta Lima Tango. My name is Al. I'm an Easley. I'll be negative and negative.
Okay, Net Control would like to recognize KF4DLT. That's Al, sounding good from Easley this evening. Fletch's neighbor over there in Easley. Good to have you with us tonight, Al. Stay safe. Appreciate you being with us this evening. We'll go ahead now and bump it to the Echo Through Hotel group. Station with the first letter of the suffix or call that begins with the letters E through H. And we'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW.
For DJW. Kilo Charlie 4, Echo Zulu November, Harry in County, North Carolina. Negative night, Dave.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize KC4EZN. That's Harry over in Candler. Good to have you tonight, Harry. Don't go too far because I might need you to help me get to second shift because we're burning through the alphabet pretty quick and don't have any rag tours yet. But anyway, appreciate you being with us tonight. Take care. Stay safe. Any other stations, Echo Through Hotel.
I just want to make sure there are no birdies or hash or home or anything like that. Other than that, that's all I have, and so I'm negative and negative. Over.
Dave Casey for EZN.
Yeah, just getting him plugged in. Net Control, I'd like to recognize KC4EZN. That's Harry over in Candler. I doubled with you, Gene, when I recognized him last time. Not sure who won. But anyway, appreciate you being with us tonight, Harry. Don't go too far. I might need you for carryover to get me to second shift, unless John comes around at Q through T, and he did the pre-check-in, so he may not be here. Anyway, appreciate you being there with us tonight, Harry. Take care. Stay safe. And W4FHJ, that's Gene, where I doubled with you, Gene, but I got you checked in. Appreciate you taking the time to be with us this evening. Take care. Stay safe. Any other stations, echo through hotel. They'd like to check into the Blue Ridge T-Meter Net, call W4DJW.